As you all know, the committee was supposed to be in Zimbabwe this week and next week, Eastern Cape. But because of the legislation in front of us, we postponed those verses, which means the amendment bill, B20-2007, and the traditional health practitioner's bill, B21-2007. At 11:30 to 13 hour, deliberation finalization on tobacco, of the tobacco product control amendment bill B2240/2006. Then we'll have our lunch between 1:15 to 2. Members will leave the hotel by 1:45 for the plenary. So 2 o'clock members must be at the plenary. Maybe to save time, let's not introduce ourselves, but I want our new researcher assigned to this committee for health, social development. Okay, to introduce herself. Maybe our guests also to introduce themselves. The members will introduce themselves when they are talking. When they be talking. Madam, over to you. Very much, you are most welcome. From the Department of Health.
I'm Dr. Howley, I'm the director of Mental Health and
Thank you, Doctor.
My name is Ronnie Thompson, I'm the supervisor of Mental Health. My name is
Let me give this opportunity to our guests to introduce themselves.
Jerry Gilley from British American Tobacco, South Africa.
Also for the Melbourne Tobacco Institute, South Africa.
Thank you. Let me also welcome our special delegates from provinces. Those are part of us, but let me give them opportunity to introduce themselves. Thank you very much. Members of the Select Committee introduce themselves. Well, when I'm going to speak or comment, just to save time. We have received a document from the Tobacco Institute of South Africa. The COS Committee and myself, I was not around, so we only got it today, and another one from ASPH, so it's for members' information. And we are also having responses from the department, those who came from the provinces. We are now going to ask the department leader on the responses. We'll start with the TTOP, Twice on Termination of Pregnancy Amendment Bill, B20-2007, for now. Professor, Who's the singer? Okay. Also, Mrs. Mato is going to deal with the traditional hair question of this. Where is it? What do you do? Let members introduce themselves.
What's the thing?
The health department presenters are still starting the list, I think. I'm Jess Masilo, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Social Services. I represent Northwest Province. That's okay.
Okay, here's the tono. It was in Buma.
Morning
to everybody. Hello, Mula.
Madam Mazuruko, I'm Faith Mazuruko from Gauteng. Thank you very much, honorable members. Kalebo. The Tarabu Chahali is a little ready for her health. Hello, Mr. Mutat.
There are not so difficult in proper for me to continue, but maybe the way you can talk to the people of the issue. And Mutat also should be aware that what I can't do to apply to the other person.
So you want to take us through? Arahono Araba. So,
yeah, so far.
Director Dr. Kaule. Okay. Dr. Kaule, can you take us through?
Yeah, okay. I hope everyone has a copy of our form. And I could just go through the
The Department of Health work on the documents presented on the last week meeting. I'm not sure whether the Western Cape presented their documents. I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure. There was a document. Yeah. But it means therefore that there's nothing to respond to from the Western Cape. Is there anything to respond to?
No, there's nothing.
I think the two issues that they raised were that the categories of structural health factors should be dedicated. We did report to that in one of the reports to the provinces. And also the second point that they raised, these two issues were similar to one or two provinces that raised the medical issue. So we did report to them in other parts of the report.
Okay.
But we're thinking we're supposed to say no test. So is it going to come up in those responses to indicate Western Cape position?
Yes,
okay. Ma'am Zalusa, you're most welcome. Understand that you are struggling in terms of typing. We are sorry for that. We had a crisis in terms of game. Dr. Kaule, may you lead us and tell us which one are you dealing with? For the record.
I'm dealing with the Triton Termination of Pregnancy and the response is given from the department. Firstly, because it goes through the preamble, that honorable members are requested to note that responses are to a large extent limited to the provisions of the bill, not the principal act. That the act, and therefore the bill, only seeks to accentuate the rights provided for in the Bill of Rights, where woman in parenthesis is not limited to 18 years and above, but any woman of whatever age. Accordingly, that the Department of Health has the responsibility to provide reproductive health care services to women and thereby promote reproductive rights and freedom of choice. And fourth, that as much as we recognize the right to object to on the basis of religion, conscience, etc., that right can be limited. In addition, the right cannot be invoked at the expense of the right of the user. This is premised on the fact that it is inherent in the functions of the practitioner that he or she may be asked to perform a termination of pregnancy. And dealing with another case specifically, one, nurses who refuse to perform a termination of pregnancy and under age, the Act recognizes the right of a woman of any age to decide when to have children, and thereby invoke the reproductive rights afforded by the Bill of Rights. Therefore, the Act is not about the rights of healthcare users, but seeks to accentuate the rights already recognized by the Constitution or in the Constitution. B, the Department of Health is currently in the process of developing a policy on conscientious objection by practitioners. However, this is limited by Section 36 of the Constitution and the right of users to have access to health care, Section 27 of the Constitution, which is paramount. Consent of minors to terminate pregnancy. A, the Constitution guarantees everyone the right to access to health care services and does not limit everyone to women for a particular age. This right includes a right to reproductive health care. B, Section 63 of the Principal Act makes provision for the minor to be advised, and we underline advised, to consult with parents with the proviso that the decision is solely the minor. And if after all this advice to consult with the parents, the minor still says no, the provision will be that the minor will make the decision. The Children's Act 2005, Section 8 of 2005, is subject to the Principal Act, that is the Principal Child Contamination of Pregnancy Act. And the accessibility to termination of pregnancy services has drastically reduced complications associated with illegal abortion. Counseling, that is pre-counseling and post-counseling. A, Section 4 of the Principal Act makes provision for non-mandatory and non-directive counseling before and after the termination of pregnancy. However, it ultimately remains the decision of the user to proceed with the termination of pregnancy or not, notwithstanding her age again. Chapter 2 of the National Health Act 2003 in general deals with the rights and duties of users and healthcare personnel. Section 6 obligates healthcare providers, to inform healthcare users of inter alia benefits, risks, costs, and consequences generally associated with health procedures and treatment options. And Section 7 details the informed consent of the user. 4. Training. Only registered midwives and nurses with prescribed training, and we underline prescribed training because it is specific to termination of pregnancy, will be authorized to perform termination of pregnancy in addition to medical practitioners. And 5. Keeping of records. The bill obligates the person in charge of a facility to keep records and
and relay them to the head of department in that province, including terminations of pregnancy performed. 6. Counseling of practitioners. Debriefing and psychological support are provided as part of the employer and employee assistance program in the workplace. And this is critical because we know that healthcare providers, we have to provide the service, do need that type of debriefing and psychological support. Medical and physical terminations of pregnancy. Termination of pregnancy is defined in the Principal Act to include both medical and physical terminations of pregnancy. Both must only be performed at designated and approved facilities. And under the fifth stage, there are concerns were dealt with about their concerns within the ambit of the previous discussion. Okay. Standards are consistent. Clause 5 of the bill states that regulations by members of the executive council will be approved by the minister. This is to ensure consistency across the provinces. And B, Section 25 of the National Health Act 2003 obligates the provincial heads of departments to have provincial health policies that are not discordant with national health policies. Two, under counseling, the matter responded to under 3 in the Northern States when I got to know. And 3, objecting on the basis of conscience, also it was responded to under the same as the one under Northern States. Record keeping, the same as the one under Northern States. Age of consent, the matter was responded to under 2 under Northern States. And then 6, termination allowed, the proposal is repugnant to the provision of the Bill of Rights. And 7, petitioners performing terminations of pregnancy. 8, only registered midwives and nurses with prescribed training will be allowed in terminations of pregnancy. Students and interns explicitly excluded, denied, explicitly excluded. Traditional leaders are also excluded, and we could for now be looking at a future. Matter on conscientious objection has been responded to. And proposed amendments, most of these proposals are in the head and not the bill. Implementation of proposal is taken note of. And then the consent from Limpopo. Termination of pregnancy, this is a constitutional right contained in the Bill of Rights. This is not part of the bill, but detailed in the principal act. That was the second consent. That consent, penalties are contained in Section 10 of the Principal Act. The fourth concern, matter of conscientious objection has been responded to. 5, the matter of pre and post termination of pregnancy counseling has been responded to. 6, keeping of records has been responded to as well. The bill does not contradict the Children's Act 2005, but the latter is instead targeted by the unit of the Principal Act. Traditional dealers are excluded from the government termination of pregnancy. Bumananga, a Section 78 of the National Health Act 2005 makes provision for the establishment of the Office of Standard Compliance to, inter alia, monitor compliance with prescribed health standards by health establishments, providers, and agencies, and inspect health establishments and health agencies in order to determine levels of compliance with health standards and conditions imposed by the state of need. And Section 80 of the National Health Act makes provision for the appointment of health officers whose function is to monitor and enforce compliance with the National Health Act. Under 8, all concerns responded to about space for 2-2. And in respect of 2-2, Section 2 of the Principal Act lays down circumstances under which termination of pregnancy can be performed for different periods of gestation. It is therefore incumbent on the user to prove that these circumstances exist before the provider can consider any request for termination of pregnancy. It is our view that several conditions will unnecessarily limit access to termination of pregnancy. That concludes our discussion.
Thank you very much, doctor. But after we have the provinces, I think of Mark, Northwest and Western Cape. If you, what is the third one? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The 9 provinces I've got here, huh? Western Cape, Northwest. Well, what's happening there? If you can just give us a clarity, where did you include them so that we check? But with the Northwest, they didn't send anything by last week. It was just a negotiating mandate. That's when we agree. Western Cape, they said they submitted. And let me just incorporate it.
The members who were the Western Cape negotiating mandate says report on the standing committee on social development and choice of termination of pregnancy and any employees. The standing committee on social development, having considered the subject of the choice of termination of pregnancy and any employees, referred to the provincial parliament in terms of the rules of the National Council of Provinces, has to report that it confers on the Western Cape delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill. Subject to the following amendment. Not two, there must be a clear distinction between medical and physical abortion, and this should be done via regulations as a matter of that's the committee highlighted the following. There should be support for nurses who object to performing termination of pregnancy as well as the rules, nurses who perform termination of pregnancy that are carried into it. More community involvement in this specific area of health.
Can you use your mic?
And separate to an invitation for comments and the hosting of public hearings on the 21st and 22nd of August 2007, the standing committee noted the following comments received from organizations, and that was the issue.
Yeah.
The comments were not
provided. Just a follow up, Eastern Cape. There were no any questions from Eastern Cape.
I think I have something. How is that still looking?
Okay. Mr. Tetolo wants to say something. But before it's Mr. Bato, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay. Tetolo.
Yeah, sure. I think the reason why we're struggling to, you know, check back, and I think I requested that this thing was actually done. We said it must be in a tabular form. He said it has got to be in a tabular form so that we are able to cross-refer, you know. As it is now, it's very difficult to cross-refer. For instance, if you look at the book, you don't say this is acknowledged. So it means I must go back and check what is this, you know. When you go to number two, this is not part of, which is not part of it. So it should mean that I must go back to the negotiating mandate, so as, you know, to cross-refer. But if it was in a tabular form, you say, this is what the purpose says, this is the response of the department. One, just like that. I thought this is what you have asked the department to do.
What we did, Madam Chair, is we looked at all the responses, and where there was commonality, we took that commonality and responded to it. And I agree, Mr. Dolo, if you have a regular form, it would be easier to cross with it. But most of the issues were actually similar in most instances. And those which were referring to the amendment bill, we dealt with them as those referring to the amendment bill. But the issues that were referring to the principal act, we couldn't deal with it. Hence the preamble that we put when I started.
But I think it's going to be important if those provinces were noted to say Northwest, nothing, Eastern Cape and so forth for the record purposes, so that they should feel comfortable that the provinces done something, because the question from the Constitutional Court is the participation of the provinces. Now it means three provinces didn't participate in this process. Can I give response for Eastern Cape?
But Eastern Cape, the choice on termination of pregnancy amendment hearing after referred to the bill has been referred to the post portfolio committee, and then the consideration of the bill and the negotiating mandate The committee resolved to support the amendment bill as proposed. However, having the public hearings, the following matters were raised sharply and are therefore highlighted for your attention. Include a specific provision regarding conscientious objection by a medical or a health practitioner, which we responded to. And then minors should not be allowed to terminate pregnancy without the consent of the parents. And we responded to that in terms of how it's provided for in the Constitution and the National Constitution.
Okay. Any additions from the department before giving to the members?
Then we can add 3.3. Make provision for mothers contemplating abortion to receive compulsory counseling before and after abortion at the expense of the state that we dealt with them. There was also a strong feeling that any healthcare practitioner who partakes on the should also be able to manage potential complications such as breathing infection, kidney failure, using rupture preparation to terminate and to terminate a pregnancy, although with the defense and permission of the patient, still fall down to intervention in the life of a healthy individual, and any complications should be the responsibility of the health practitioner. Hence the prescribed training which affords the person upon the termination of pregnancy to be able to deal with all these complications. A provision must be made to keep all the records of pregnancy terminated, including the first trimester and the health event. An express provision should be made for counseling people who are performing terminations of pregnancy with health events as well. And Section 3 of the Amendment Act states to distinguish between medical and physical that having the unintended consequence of requiring that medical abortion needs to be performed at a designated facility meeting the requirements of Section 3. And we will be dealt with that as well.
Thank you. Mrs. Mogaloso, you want to make an addition? No?
No.
Thank you. Before giving the members, let me also introduce Honorable Member Teche, who can be late. Professor Green Thompson, you are not here when we introduce myself. You are also welcome, and Mrs. Mzaloza from Health Department, you are most welcome. Members, after getting the response from the department on this topic, talk, I'm going to give you the opportunity to deliberate on it. We'll start on page 1, not on tape, after preamble.
Okay.
Anything on page 1, Professor Thomas?
No, sir, okay, I'm still... you see, these things are going to go to the province. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That these responses are going to be sent to the provinces.
Yes.
And if there is some little confusion at this level here, as to whether certain, you know, province has been responded to or not, we're going to find the same problem in the provinces. Where if provinces don't actually see their own province appearing and saying, these are the issues that we raised and these are the responses. And we find that the responses are only implied elsewhere. For me, it's going to be a little bit difficult. And I thought this is the reason why we're very specific. This is the reason why we're very specific. Because we're saying this out of experience, you know. Saying this out of experience. I am saying, for instance, it's very difficult because I don't have those mandates now with me. I don't have all those mandates here. I didn't think I was doing the mandate alone. Because I would have thought, No longer believe that. You see? I'm free for the provinces. Because my worry is, we should not really confuse our own readiness to interfere and all those sort of things with those of the provinces. I think they're going to find it a little difficult in actually understanding what they said and what the response is here. That was my little thing. I'm really concerned about this. And I'm just asking if it is not possible, although we can go through this now, is it not possible to refigure these things in a manner that we have actually, before we send them to the provinces? Because the thing is, they've got to go to the provinces today or tomorrow, and next week we expect the provinces to give us, we expect the provinces to give us their responses.
Final mandate.
Which will be the final mandate, yes, you know? We don't want to have a situation where a province would come back and say, our next week, we are confronted by a situation where a province says, we were not responded to, our concerns were not responded to. Then we must now go back to them and say, no, they were responded to when we responded to another province. You know that type of situation. I think it's going to be a little problematic. My view, short of it. Thank you.
Thank you. But just to give more information that the provinces, through liaison officers, will send these documents last week Friday. But thanks for your point. And which next Thursday at 5:15, this Thursday, will be having the final mandate.
This Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah. Now we have to offer the panel. Any other comments? Honorable member, Sasson? I don't know. I don't know if you can grab the mic.
Yeah. Rosetta, I'm not allowed.
Sisi.
I was saying most of the issues that are being raised by the public, one of the conduct is considered. In my view, there has nothing to do with the maybe there has something to do with the actual fact. Now, the question that was, how do we deal with such situation? Because the matter that are given us has to look at 25 areas commonly, but the issues that are being raised by the people have something to do with the actual.
Okay. Thank you. I think departments are noting those points. Any other comment from members? Can I give the department to respond? Sisi? Assist with the mic, please.
Yes.
That's not a
In our paper, that's why we issued that one, we will deal with it because the principal act cannot be dealt with. The issue was the amendment bill.
Yeah.
And even at national health level, we decided to deal with the bill and the issues of consent around it. The court said there's a problem with the parliamentary process, and specifically said if the parliamentary process around consultation at provincial level is dealt with, the invalidity that was suspended for 18 months would then be reconsidered. And I think the legal people can put it possibly in better legal sense.
Right. Let me also, before that, welcome our... Sorry, I'm still sharing. Honorable member, we'll give it to the legal person to assist you to give more clarity on that one. But let me welcome a member of this committee, Honorable Setuna, from Free State.
Legal advisor,
okay. We always invite the state law advisors and the parliamentary advisors, so they are not here. But let's hear from the department legal advice on those 5 points raised by honourable member from Eastern Cape.
We only need to concentrate on the process by the statutory and the that is to facilitate public input. But relating to the substance of the business, those are the 5 areas that the department thought should be dealt with in order to achieve the object, the main object that we kind of thought we should to achieve by devolving the power of the
minister.
Okay, no, thank you very much because Mandy.
and then you cannot go and stuff.
Yeah,
I think the colleague that he has spoken something that also is in my mind. Because the court, if the court said there was insufficient consultation, so which means we go back now, we hold the public hearing, because we want to hear what the people want to say. And we're connected to a kind of what people want to say. The people are not pointing, you know, at the, what you call this amendment. They are pointing at the root. The root cause of all this dissatisfaction. Now, my colleague actually said, the people are not pointing, they are pointing at the act. What are you going to do to satisfy
their husbands? Okay, Honorable Nasop, followed by followed by Honorable Tolo, Honorable Suleman, and Honorable Tete, in that order.
The understanding of the process was that home health should be started for Christ. In other words, we as parliamentarians must take those as bills now to public hearing. Now, if you look at these two bills, the approach is not the same. The other one is started from scratch. This one is only part area. The department decided to be amended. As this entity was clear, especially the issue of a minor to be allowed to change the president at the age of 12. That is the first time that at the age of 12 can get help to become president. Now, our argument therefore is why we select a president. Because in the beginning of the year, it is clear that the people are content not to be the devotion of power the government. I'm taking that question. My concern, how do you take the issue forward? Given the fact that people are not able to talk about the things by AI.
Professor, can you assist us with the mic? Okay. You will call on Tate Stona.
Chair, I think I hear what the honourable members are saying, but the unfortunate thing is that the act has been passed a long time ago. That is the reality. And we want to say, we know that even at the time when we passed the act, there were public hearings. And of course, not everybody was happy at that particular time. But yes, that act was actually passed. And if there are concerns now in relation to the principal act, we can't address those concerns in this amendment bill. The Department of Health actually brought these five areas to us to look at those five areas. We looked at them, the court said they have not followed the correct process, follow the process to actually relook at those five areas and not the principal act. I am not really sure if this is what the if this was to introduce a bill for legal empowerment, a different bill altogether, they can do so. There are processes in Parliament that allow for what we call private members' day. So if provinces or whatever, or individuals who want to actually do something about it, they can be in a position through those channels, bring the bill, and we'll see what we do about it. You know, that's how I think this should actually happen now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Yeah. And also not to mix the children's bill and the sick home. Yeah. Let's not take things from the children's bill, serve, yes, yeah. Blah, 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 to this act. Let's be clear about it. The next member is Honourable Suleman.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I think Mr. Solo has said what I wanted to say, the actual fact that we are making the point here now. We are dealing with the problem, not with the point of correct. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chetan.
Yeah, thank you, Chetan. Our personal take on the bill itself, but the issues that are being raised by provinces, and you see the government is it's still to a certain extent, well, I'm not really convinced by some of the responses from the department. And I just want to check whether we can get to some point. You know, in particular, a situation where now you're dealing with a minor. Because I see the response, the haven't said, I should think this, or this is part of the amendment that I submitted.
Give them a minute.
Yeah, I mean, there are not going to change responses that I get. That dealt with the man. Well, I'll be corrected if this was part of the major, the Truthful Act, but I suppose it's part of the deal that is the truth that I did. Now, you see, whatever the response is, the department is actually saying, the concept of minors to terminate pregnancy. Look, to be honest, I'm not really convinced. When you talk of every, does not mean that every one, yeah, 2A on page 1 was the you say that particular right of the minor. It looks like we are extending whatever years, whatever 12, 10, whatever time that minor will be pregnant. So just giving that minor overarching powers for the minor to proceed, they may. Because it's saying Section 3 of the Act, the minor is advised to confront the parent. With the proviso that the descent is solely the minor. So the descent at the end of the day rests with the minor. Whether the minor wants to. And I think I also understand that there are situations where now certain pregnancies can be dealt with in terms of medical conditions. But here, it's a near termination of the pregnancy. So I have a problem where now, at the end of the day, whether parents agree or disagree, that termination can still proceed with a minor, say, discretion. So I have a problem with that. To say it looks like in our law, we can allow minors to do certain things and certain things they do not do. And I also want to put to you to say, I understand the Bill of Rights. To say there are limitations to the Bill of Rights. But wouldn't you actually put a situation where now parents at the end of the day, because you see, it's a teacher managed to bring some other part of education here, where a parent decides to take his child to school. And a parent also decides what language his child has to learn. To let in. In other words, if I take my child in Afrikaans medium of school, I have decided that my child will learn Afrikaans or
English.
Okay, then the question is basically that level. You say, are we moving parents from deciding for their own children what is good for them and what is not good for them? In terms of this element of termination of pregnancy. I also have a problem on B where your conscientious objection by a practitioner, where in item 4, page 1, you say that the right cannot be invoked at the expense of the right of the user. Now, the practitioner here, sort of, because you say that to say that this is pretty for the fact that it is inherent in the function of the practitioner. That he she may be asked to perform that particular function. And in a way you're saying a practitioner may not have an option because the rules are, the regulations are not yet in place. I should think they provide as much as the users have provided. And I think we must equally respect that situation. So it seems to me that at some point a practitioner may be forced to terminate a pregnancy on a person who controls. So I've got a problem with this to where perhaps I need to go to say we need to provide some guidelines to allow them not to perform if they choose not to do so.
Thank you, Honourable Member. We've got 5 minutes to wrap up the point. Honourable Setona, followed by Member Zivuk. Can you assist me?
Yeah, you see, I think it's a problem.
No.
I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's a
Maybe I'm not the only issue here, which are more about our approach and the problem. One, we mustn't develop a wrong understanding. Parliament is a right. It is facing a bid coming from any authority, which is executive. We have a right to go beyond the scope of the area. It's our right. It happens, yeah? And the exercise of that right is not coincidental, you know? It's not spontaneous, it's a crucial right, yeah? And maybe what we must say here, consciously so that we close this debate, where that we want to deal with the principal act beyond this framework of the amendment bill. And the proposal is that is incorrect. Would be undermining democracy. The principal act was adopted by parliament, by the majority. Yeah. And the majority will prevail. And they will prevail. And that's mostly special. They will prevail. I'm not going to write on the process. Not dictator, we've got majority. And if we keep the same, the thing happens is because we think I need to think as a polarized society like South Africa, along cultural, religious, you know, and other ramifications. We already agree on a deal. You know? So I'm proposing that Justin, let's concentrate as a matter of procedure for people on the amendments proposed by the department. Finish. And those other amendments that are relating to the principal act, let's put them aside now. Everything he wants to engage with them can follow open democratic processes of coming out with private members' legislation, or penetrating the ministry at different levels, to consider invoking new amendments. Because I'm always there going about time. We don't have blood barriers or shares for the whole thing. Chairperson, I don't know of anything else. That is the first thing. The second thing, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know, Chairperson, I don't have the Children's Act here with me. And I don't have other acts that relate to the rights of the children. And I don't want to make a match, But I also believe that some other acts do cater. And if they don't cater, I want to believe that the department is not naive. Not to come with the regulatory framework, which will outline all those issues, balancing the rights of the child, other circumstances, with the rights and the powers of guardianship, I think it's normal. Because if you read Constitution, Section 27 of the Constitution, it says everyone has the right to access to health care, including reproductive health care. It doesn't say a woman of 28 years, irrespective of what the donor's culture or belief. I think it says everyone, and this is the supreme law of the land. And I'm challenging anyone here that this is the supreme law of the land and you must abide by it. As to how we are going to do it, to take those sensitivities that Honorable Chetan is raising, I think it belongs to a different voltage. If it is not covered by other legislation, Children's Act, the regulations, by the Minister of Culture covered us things. That will be my submission. Thank you.
The last person on this point, Honorable Mazibuko. I think Member Sun has actually covered me. But I wanted to emphasize, Chairperson, that many members do not have a copy of the bill. I think that's the problem. if we can circulate a copy of the bill so that the members understand what are the intentions of this amendment bill. Because I think even in the previous meeting, we addressed it to say we're not dealing with the principal act here. All issues that are being raised is issues that are contained in the principal act. That was done in 1996. Probably they were fast asleep by then. But our program manager, because of the children's bill, then they come at that opportunity and say, let's smuggle some of these issues on termination. There's nothing there. We dealt with that thing, with that act in 1996. So, me, now my three chapters is that maybe let's circulate the bill. Maybe they will understand that what are the intentions of this bill that are giving me.
Can you read it for us?
I will read the chapter. It says to amend the choice on termination of pregnancy of 1996 so as to amend a definition and to insert others, to empower a member of the executive council to approve facilities where a termination of pregnancy may take place, to exempt a facility offering a 24-hour maternity service from having to obtain approval for termination of pregnancy services under certain circumstances, to provide for the recording of information and submission of statistics, to enable a member of the executive council to make regulations, and lastly, to provide for matters connected therewith. Penalty, finish and pass. Lana kulunga abantu abawukhiphisa isu ukuthi benzane abantu abana bayikhipha abantu abana bazikhipha. But we say here we are giving the MECs and the minister ukuthi I mean it has been our concern, Jefferson, if you recall, that there are lots of fly-by-nights that are just mushrooming everywhere. So there is no control. There are no proper recordings. There is nothing that regulates who to ban, who to register, how it's supposed, the person is supposed to be trained, and so on and so on. If you got consensus objections, they are contained in the 1996 bill, chapter 6, where it was clear if a person does not want to perform COT, ECOP, but I am telling you, others, they seize that opportunity. That's mad in Amtandi. Because we are not paying into the contract. But here is a get-rich-quick scheme that they can actually utilize because they see that women are vulnerable and all those things. And lastly, chapter, I think the department like is a mistake. Well, that is true too bad. Why have you done that? Why have you
done that? Well, we
are here. That's a general issue that we need. I think that's a mistake to me. I think the mistake in the end is the mistake that you did. In your first sentences, you put it straight. Members are requested and are to note that responses are to a large extent limited to the provisions of the bill, not the principal. Then me and your fugan tendula every better upon the principal. I think that's the mistake that you did. So the man gets this wood along and I don't have to see that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Into Lava through a revolution and we can come up with a revolution.
No, you are noted, Mrs. Lamula. I think I'm sharing this with you. You are noted, you are the next person. Yes, my Moshe Bab. Can you ever see the Mamzi Lakatu sitting there next to you? Why you are sitting there?
The apple.
Those back, Mrs. Masabu. Mam research. Ni tell mama let's do and then get another chair. Please, my
chair. There's a chair.
There's a chair here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I want
to.
I want chief director to be seated and
next to Sima.
Can you bring us a few bodies in public?
Mrs. Matapi, you're welcome. And Honorable Member Lamula? I think it's all of Papua.
Yeah, that's correct.
The document is out there. You're going to see the provisions that Friday. And Ariko will let a follow up today again.
mo di tokomane tse di rometseng ko di-provinceng. Mo araba rae ke bue ka Afrikaans, mo arabe ka ya gagolo. We'll follow up today. Let me take this opportunity to welcome Mme Matau. Mme, I'm sure you met the Yokotaka Paking. Here it is for help. Mr. Konali, the point is that we will give the department opportunity to respond and we'll go to the next item of the another bill. Sisi? I'm sure the way Honorable Mazibuko said, everybody is clear about it. So we must take that route. Thank you. Just give it to...
In a local they allow.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We listened to everything that was discussed today, and I would like to say that the initial response would have been to easily just limit ourselves to the amendment bill and ignore everything else that was said during the meeting. But the department took the standing that honorable members here understand the amendment bill, and if there are concerns that have been raised, it is only fair that we should address them. And I think that's the spirit in which we responded to some of those concerns, in the hope that those issues that were addressed outside the amendment bill were for information to the members and nothing else. Thank you.
We are now going to make a follow-up to the provinces about these responses on Thursday, 5:15, after plenary. We will be dealing with the final mandate from the province this Thursday, and I hope we will be finalizing this bill. Let's go to the next.
The time frame that we are giving the problem. We are going to pick a problem.
Yeah.
And that we want to amend it now this
session. Yeah.
Somewhere, somehow, the dates are not really making sense to me now.
Okay.
So maybe we must just have a re-look at it. Yeah. But it would be very unfair for us to send this information today to the court tomorrow and say we want the final mandate on Thursday. Legislature's got their own programs as well. They must also sit and have their own committees in place for
Okay. I think that's fine. We'll look at it as a committee.
Yeah.
Because the documents were sent last Friday. We can't do it from last Friday. But initially the meeting is today. But we'll re-look at this and then the department will be informed accordingly. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next the bill. The traditional health practitioner, bill B21/2007. You all have the copies.
Copies are coming.
You all have the copies of the bill. But members, every time when you are dealing with the bill, members are giving the documents. I think we are having special files in our offices where the bills are kept. But not to say Arico must not bring extra copies. Response from the department, there's no heading in terms of the
like that other one, pregnancy. That's blank, but it's a page one. Start with respond to comments, inputs, and questions raised by the provinces during the public hearing. Can we give the department the opportunity to take us through? Who's going to lead us, Ms. Masaku? Masau? Mrs. Njalusa?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. With regard to the traditional health practitioner act, we compiled a dossier of questions and answers, and hopefully we will meet
excuse me for it. Do you all have bills? Just give the numbers. Okay. You may continue.
Okay. Response to the comments, inputs, and questions raised by the provinces during the public hearing. We will deal with all the issues raised as per province. Starting with Northern Cape provincial legislature. It should be understood that the bill only applies to the South African traditional health practitioners, and therefore it does not recognize foreign traditional practitioners. In terms of six notes, the bill will create a legal framework within which council will recognize services of the traditional health practitioners relating to sick notes and the ability to claim from medical aid schemes. If I may explain here, it was actually one of the four instructions that came from Cabinet to the Department of Health when it started working on the traditional health practitioner act to investigate the recognition of sick certificates and also to investigate the possibility of claiming from the medical team in the country. Three, patient rights. The National Health Act in Kansas deals with the rights and obligations of all patients. Among others, or inter alia, it provides that the healthcare provider must, where possible, inform the user about the user's health status, diagnostic procedures, benefits, risks, in a language that the user understands, and in a manner which takes into account the user's level of literacy. For initiation schools, the regulations under the National Health Act of 2003 are being developed to regulate initiation schools. And also, if I may add to this, some provinces already have got quite well articulated legislation with regard to control of initiation schools. And then B, Eastern Cape provincial legislature. And the Act does not provide the period which is required in order to qualify for an appointment as a chairperson or vice chairperson of the council. The regulation will describe how the minister was made appointment. As paragraph 32, experience in law will form the basis of the appointment. 3, the community representative referred to in section 7H of the bill represents the community and not the profession. And therefore he or she should not necessarily have the knowledge of traditional medicine. Otherwise, the community is the representative for even if you compromise in the electoral. Generally, community representatives that are appointed into council never the particular profession. 3, 4, emphasis on the representative representative for each category of traditional health practitioners as defined in the Act would be made in the regulation. Section 9G cannot be removed. This section deals with the disqualification as a member of council. It reads, a person may not be appointed as a member of the council if he or she is, at the time of his or her appointment, or while during the preceding 12 months. 3.6, the rehabilitation of the land is not within the purview of this bill. And 3.7, the council is a national body and is easily accessible. The provincial department of health have units that deal with traditional health practitioners. 3.8, on the referral system, the council function will also be to collaborate with other councils and ensure that their services are recognized by the medical team. And 3.9 is general. The council will consider and take appropriate decisions of these matters. C.3.6. They have considered the bill and they support the bill. In terms of chapter 1, definitions and interpretations.
Please, there's something at the corner there. There's just some pages are missing. Can you read us on our whole session? On those
pages.
Or 3 is at the back of 4. Okay, sorry for that. Thank you, ma'am. Which page now?
Page 3.
3, yeah. Okay.
County.
Yeah. Housing provincial legislation, chapter 1, definitions and interpretation. 1. Is Nyanga were not excluded in the bill, as they are herbalists. Trade healers were deliberately excluded, as they are not based on African indigenous cultural and traditional practice. 2. The definition student, it has already been clarified in chapter 1 of the bill under definition. It actually appears under definition. 3. Traditional method has been clarified in chapter 1 of the bill under definition as well. 4. Accreditation of the traditional health practitioner is defined in chapter 1 of the bill under definition, so that only recognized school and education is provided. 5. The minister in charge of all health issues is the Minister of Health, and therefore there would not be another minister who will deal with the issue of health. Chapter 2. The presence of the medical practitioners and pharmacists in the council is to assist the council and not to impose. It should be understood that the council's aim is to protect the public. So these pharmacists and medical practitioners will ensure that the interest of the public is protected at all times. The bill requires that the council be constituted by 15 traditional health practitioners and 7 non-traditional health practitioners, in contrast to the proposal that there should be 18 traditional healers and 4 non-traditional healers. Chapter 3, the issue of foreign traditional practitioners can easily be dealt with by the Department of Home Affairs in terms of their immigration laws, which prescribe the process of attaining citizenship. Regarding training, the traditional health practitioner training is an apprenticeship format, and that it does not relate to formal education. The two are not comparable. However, we intend to propose that requirement of qualifications be suspended for a particular period so that council can determine what is required. Three, the purpose is to ensure that only formally recognized institutions provide training and thereby doing away with fly-by-night training. The council will determine the requirements for accreditation. Chapter 4. Impairment relates to the ability to provide safe and effective care to patients. The rights of patients are paramount in this regard. Council will first determine by way of a prescribed process whether a traditional health practitioner is able to function or not due to impairment. In fact, this was actually questioning the issue of people that may be regarded as impaired. So all professional health councils have got this clause, and there is a need to protect the public in terms of somebody that may be under the spell of drugs, alcohol, and whatever. The council in general will determine the fees. Traditional medicine will not necessarily be regulated in terms of the Medicine and Related Substances Act of 1963. Traditional medicine, much as there is collaboration between the MCC and the research, Medical Research Council and other scientific bodies. Traditional medicine, insofar as the traditional practitioners are concerned, they want it to remain traditional, not to be converted like Western medicine, because that's not the intention. What will that tell? The issue of a chairperson and vice chairperson has already been dealt with. When responding to the appointment as raised by the Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature. F, Limpopo Legislature. The Act will regulate African traditional health practitioners and therefore prophets and healers in churches fall outside the ambit of the Act. The Council is not mandated to recognize organizations or associations, but to regulate a traditional health practice and the public interest, and not traditional health practitioners. In as far as registration is concerned, different registers can be created based on the nature and type of the practice. 4.4, same with 4.4.3 above. 4.5, cooperation between the traditional and Western practice is one of the objects of the Council. 4.6, monitoring of service standards would be one of the functions of the Council. And 4.7, the Council's function is also to make regulations relating to the monitoring of facilities. 4.8, the Council should develop programs for capacity building through workshops. The role of municipalities and traditional healers falls outside the ambit of this field. 4.10, for the project on traditional healing to be extended to food, this is the issue which the council should deal with or decide. So the proposal that the subject of traditional healing should be introduced at full level, and we feel it's one of the things that the council wants to see can deal with. The special meetings of the council are provided for in the bill. The council may negotiate with institutions about the issue of rendering services at hospitals. The council may negotiate with health institutions about referrals to the traditional health practitioner facility. Western Cape program We have responded to the issue when dealing with different stakeholders, especially on the issue of appointment of members of or chairperson, vice chairperson. And in Mpumalanga provincial legislature, we have already dealt with the issue of appointment when responding to the Eastern Cape program. It is one of the functions of the council to register traditional leaders. It is not a government. In short, the council is not a government structure. It is autonomous and is also a juridic structure. Internationally, recognized standards cannot be applicable. Recognition is only accorded to the traditional practice based on an applicant's philosophy. Comments of the National House of Traditional Leaders on the Traditional Health Practitioners Bill. The term diviner and herbalist were clearly defined in Chapter 1, and therefore they are considered as separate from each other. The purpose for having registered students is to enable the council to be able to trace the record of such a training. In fact, all other health professionals have to register as students. So we felt the same should apply to traditional health practitioners so that you can trace the record of training where and how. One of the main objects of the council is to maintain appropriate ethical and professional standards required from traditional health practitioners. 3, the council will determine the kind of education and training required. This is the ETQA for the school. And we agree with paragraph 4 in relation to membership of the council. The House of Traditional Leaders can be accorded the representation in the council. In fact, while we have a total of 22 members of in this particular proposed council, so part and parcel of the streamlining of professional councils as a whole, where we didn't want them to exceed 25. So we still have a room. It should be between 22 and 25. We could have traditional leaders. So we say. The medical practitioners and pharmacists. Oh, I'm sorry. Going back to 4.1, what we discussed was that we may have representation of a traditional leader as long as that traditional leader is not a traditional practitioner. It should be somebody that should come with all the necessary authorization in the council. The medical practitioners and pharmacists are there to guide and support. Appointment of a registrar does not necessarily mean that a person should be a professional in that particular field. 6, the council can only decide the manner in which applications for registration to practice can be made. 7, on qualification for registration, the council should determine prescribed by means of regulations.
Under that group.
And prescribe, by means of regulation. And 8, the department is in the process of drafting the policy that will permit legislation to regulate traditional medicine, including intellectual property rights and protection of indigenous knowledge systems. The role of council in this regard will be to assist in determining such so actually falls under a different territory altogether. If I may explain, as the National Department of Health, HR looks at the Traditional Health Practitioners Act and aims at regulating the practitioner, the traditional health practitioner. Now there is another directory that deals with traditional medicine. That one falls under the pharmaceutical cluster, but it deals specifically with traditional medicine, and it's not just South African traditional medicine, it also includes the other from the East and so on. So that's just as a little clarity.
though we collaborate, but we do should be coming short. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Zalusa. Northern Cape and Northwest again. They didn't submit. There are no any submission for those two provinces.
Northern Cape is the first one.
Northern Cape. Number
one.
Number one.
Right on top.
Number one. North Cape. Did you say here in North Cape? My apology for that.
Northwest.
It's Northwest. My province. Even this morning, I was fighting with the same. So many things. thank you for the presentation and the response. I'm now giving the opportunity to members. Honorable Member Basson from Eastern Cape. Can you assist for... We are sorry to worry you, madam. We are having a crisis
here.
Okay.
Our proposal is in line with 27 policies, but for you to qualify to remember to come to my first idea. And I don't understand why she doesn't know now where we are saying the chapters have been passed across the constitution. Then response 2.3 on the question of three people that should be added to the council. Our proposal is that those people must have a knowledge of this practice. Now, if you are saying there is no need for that, how on earth somebody can be a councillor of something that she or he doesn't know or understand? Maybe you can think that with the proposal of traditional leaders, because that was in line. Our proposal was in line with that. It is to maintain the knowledge of these things. For instance, now we are coming up with the proposal, I don't know which problem, that traditional leader should be part of that. Our proposal was in line with that. Then the last point is 2.7, the provincial structure. The understanding of the law was that we take this thing to a public hearing so that people can hear about it. Now, the feeling is that we need to have a provincial structure. But here, in terms of response, there is no convincing, answer to me to say, why can't we have provincial structure? Because if you talk about a unit within the department, to ask that unit has nothing to do with the county. A unit of the department is not a unit of the county. So can you get it done? Those are the issues. Thank you very much.
Honorable Tolo?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Well, I just want to start by saying my lamentation since then on how the responses are actually, even in this one, formulated. But on the Northern Cape, number two there, on the question of the seat notes, I don't have this Northern Cape, input here. But I see here that the legal state, legal framework, well, I don't know whether you're talking about another bill or this one. What do you think the bill we will create, the legal framework, which bill will we sell it to you? Because in this bill that I'm talking about, there's nothing of a nature, of that nature. Which bill level? And then on page, I think page 3, 410, 412, and 413. The thing here, I don't know, I can't remember what that province said, but you are saying here in the response, for the program on traditional healing to be extended to school, so I presume that there was a suggestion that this program was extended to schools. You are saying this is the issue which the council should deal with or decide. I'm not sure if the council can decide as what comes into the curriculum or for education, for instance. I'm not sure if the council can do that. Maybe we have to actually clarify as they grow. It cannot be the council that should say, we decide that this thing was, and then that was going to be there. It
deals with the ministries and all this sort of things. It's the Minister of Education who finally decides what comes into the curriculum of our schools, and it can therefore be used statistical year. Now, you are saying for example 12 there, we're just talking here, the council may negotiate with institutions about the issue of rendering services at hospitals. I think this should be a policy matter as well. It cannot be just left to the council to negotiate with, for instance, health institutions. So it's going to become that it's usually taken at minister level of the ministers or the level of the department. The same thing applies to taking there. The council may negotiate with health institutions about referrals to the traditional health practitioner facilities. It's not something that can just be left at negotiations at that level. If there's a decision to be taken, there's going to be taken at the higher level. Thank you. You are just responding.
Thank you, Honorable Sisuna.
We got very interesting discussion about this one. During the introduction of this amendment, one of the limitations that we identified collectively, and I remember that we agreed, was that there's no comprehensive policy framework on the traditional health practitioner in South Africa. Has this been adopted? If you look on this bill, it doesn't deal with fundamental policy. Deal with the creation of a structural and legal environment to begin to deal with those issues. And when I read one of the statements, I don't remember where it is, you are talking, I think the last number 8, the department is in the process of drafting a policy that will premise legislation. So when you have a policy, policy may even impact on this amendment to amend it and to address what variety of issues. But when this fundamental chairperson, there was a report when this bill was presented on the study call that was undertaken by the then select committee for solo committee at the time. I don't know why it's reading. Because there are national practices. This thing is a process committee. You don't just create a law tomorrow and say, no, every traditional leader will be. It's a transformation. A lot of things need to put regulations in place, you know, to have database, who is the traditional leader where, and how do you manage that database and kind of a thing. So I was just trying to make that comment, so that it was about contribution that we made. But we can also take account of limitations that we noted when this deal was basically presented. And after the election, my comment must also say, because I cannot be enough here, I'm a member of the African National Congress. If we look at the resolutions of the African National Congress, of the Mafeking Conference and the Stellenbosch, on this particular question, ANC recognizes, from a fundamental point of view, that a need of integrating your national public health system with the traditional health care system, and the military health care system is still separate. For three healthcare systems, it's a problem that government must give adequate attention. So this itself, President, for me, is a step in that direction. Where qualitative or legislative and whatever, it's a matter of evaluation, which I'm not confident to make at this point in time. But I just felt that it's important that when we engage with this thing, we remind ourselves of that particular context, etc. Thank you. But I think 2 years or 3 years, when this issue was presented, before this committee,
there
were huge documents that were
reported.
Thank you,
Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, here's a mic for you.
Yeah, Chairperson, I just want to pick up on issues that I need clarity on.
Okay.
On page one, under Norton case, where it says that the bill cannot recognize for any traditional practitioner. The fact of the matter is they are here, they are practicing. What are the processes to be followed to deal with this particular issue? if there are any punitive measures, I mean, what process would the department follow to deal with this aspect? Because they are here, and they are actually practicing. Just to follow on the Eastern Cape comment, that you know, there has been a concern to, well, I've talked to the province in Popo where there was a query about the council being at National Level. The issue is, seeing that now the Department of Health is also within the provinces with NDCs, you know, would it make sense for them to have that particular provincial structure as well? Because when you come to your constitution of the council, on 17, to say 9 must be traditional health practitioners, one from each province, of whom each must have been in practice for not less than 5 years. So they worry about the procedure, because if they have a council, they will within themselves or among themselves be able to forward this particular person who will actually represent the province. It is that feeling that actually came from that province as well, and I think it's the same as the rep from Eastern Cape has actually alluded to. Now, the other question that I have is that on your page 3, under housing, where you talk about actually, there's somewhere again where you talk about that Nepalese faith healers were deliberately excluded because they are not based on African indigenous cultural traditional practices. I want to question the department to check whether you have done extensive research to classify this aspect not as. If whether this is very sexual, because I'm not really sure what is being said here will absolutely be correct, but I still need to be convinced that those aspects are not falling in within the definition as you put, or the practice actually. Let me say the practice in Africa, or, you know, on those particular aspects. On your page 5, you say that traditional medicine will not necessarily be regulated in terms of the Medicine and Related Substances Act of 1963. And you refer to MCC and other bodies that would do that. I'm not really sure. My understanding is that there should be a base under which any body or any institution or any practice that is actually put in place somehow. Because that medicine and related substances, I think, is the base of which all other activities that deal with medicine are actually the regulation thereof. I'm not really sure if you say the MCC, will deal. You mentioned other factors that I forgot off at the top of my head now. Also on page 6, and I'm Pumalanga. That you also refer to that African philosophy, I think it goes back to the question that I asked there, I want to teach it there. But on the page 7, at the top left 2, you say one of the main objects of the council is to maintain appropriate ethical and professional standards required from traditional health practitioners. But then I should think with the council will do that, but the question still stands to say, if we exclude this practice from the Medicine and Related Substances Act of 1963, how then do we, are you planning to have this dealt with? 4.1, where you say you agree with paragraph 4 in relation to the membership, but you're not providing you don't provide, because in the constitution of the council, if you say a traditional healer or leader can be accorded representation in the council, you did not provide a proposal in the bill in terms of your or section 7. Why you talk about the constitution? Because it doesn't really say that a traditional leader will be there. But if you agree with that, where, in which aspect of the culture of the council will be a traditional leader be according to the representation there? So it's not kept as, and you're not providing a proposal. How are you going to deal with that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Cheche. We are really not doing well in terms of time. We're taking 15 minutes of the next step presentation of the tobacco bill, but I'm giving us 15 minutes to conclude. Department, may you respond?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first question was asking what we were going to do regarding questions that were raised from the Act. And I don't know. The questions that we have answered are actually the questions that came from the provinces themselves. And the questions that related to other areas of the Act that were not in the provincial responses, we have not done that because we have addressed all those questions before. Many times when we are presenting this as a bill. Also, there was a term of 5 years, referring to here from the member from the Eastern Cape. We actually said, or I think the Act, it does not specify that the chairperson and the vice chairperson shall have an experience of 5 years of practice as a traditional health practitioner. However, it is a prerequisite of every member of the council to have 5 years experience before being appointed as a member to start off with. So it would be a given. But if the feeling is that we must also write it all over again, I don't think there is a problem with that.
Please,
okay.
Please, let's
give it. With regard to traditional leaders, you know, the question of traditional leaders only came into question.
Maybe let me just clarify this. These responses or submissions were from the provinces, not from the department. Department were responding on the submissions coming from the provinces. Thank you, Ms. Let's continue.
Okay, I just wanted to highlight that the matter of traditional leaders, it was the first time that we had to respond to comments from traditional leaders, so there is no precedent to that particular one. We noted that they would like to be represented, and I don't think we object to that one. We may have one person who represents the structure. Provincial structure of the traditional health practitioner council. All councils are actually based in Victoria. There isn't a council anywhere else in the provinces. But if the feeling is that there should be structures, well, that would be for the council to decide. Bearing in mind that running a council entails quite a lot of money. If that money can be raised, it's up to the province. But what I know is that in each and every province, there is an officer at a director level or so, who is responsible for all matters of traditional healing. And of course, those provinces which don't have such a structure, I think they are going to have one sooner or later. Mr. Tola asked about which bill are we referring to. I think here is a question of semantics. In the typing of this response for which I must apologize. The words act and bill is being used interchangeably. The fact of the matter, the traditional health practitioners act
is an act, it's not a being anymore. So that is wrong. So the reference to a being should not be wrong there. Right, on page 6, there was a question, programs extended to schools, clarify. Now this was a response to a proposal from a province which wanted such programs on traditional health practitioners to be extended to schools. And we were just responding to that. It has never been an issue before, because it's not our competence to decide what goes into the school curriculum and so on. That's the competence, right, you said so, by the Honourable Member, that it is a competence of the Department of Education. There was a question also regarding councils to negotiate with institutions regarding referrals and so on. Again, you know, if the council had been, it would have been formulated by now, if there was the constitutional court challenge and ruling. If that had happened by now, the council would be far with its work. And amongst others, this is its work. It is the work of the council, it's not the work of the department chair. And then, Mr. Bettuna, honorable member, commented on the fact that there is no comprehensive policy on traditional medicine. Now, what the Department of Health was asked to do, it was to respond to a cabinet instruction to investigate the whole matter about traditional health practitioners and to create a structure, which is the interim council, and to actually appoint a forum of traditional health practitioners, which have been done. Now the next step was to create the council. Unfortunately, the council cannot continue being created until such time that the suspension is lifted by the constitutional court. So it's all part of the process that is the logical sequence. Integration of the public health system with the military, etc., etc., I think this is also a logical consequence. Of recognizing and regulating traditional health practice and then linking it to the existing health systems of the country. MP foreign health practitioners, professionals are controlled by the South African law, the other law, other than this. So this is for the first time that this country is attempting to recognize its own traditional health practitioners. There are thousands of other traditional health practitioners who operate in this country, but we have never really formally recognized our own. So we start with our own, and the categories that were given by cabinet, there are only four. Once the council is in, it is bringing the others to come on board, including the prophets and the the law of the land regulates, and in the Department of Health will put a policy for regulation of employment of foreign trained health professionals, irrespective of profession. So the same clause will apply to these foreigners. Once the company is in, it will have the money to deal with that, and we will have the administrative ability to deal with foreigners. They will definitely have to be regulated as well once they work in this particular country. Also, the constitution of the council was raised, provincial representatives, etc., etc. It was clearly decided and debated and
consulted upon how the council is going to be constituted. The structure is definitely not different from the way other professional councils are structured in the country. This will be our sixth council, and we have got vast experience of constitution of council.
Ma'am, girls, we've got a second to a minute to wrap up.
Gauteng province said something about classification of traditional healers again, and I've already explained that one. Regulation of traditional medicine, as indicated, which is in the jurisdiction of another directorate altogether. Here we are dealing with the practitioner in terms of this particular age. There is a lot of activities around the testing and recognition of traditional medicines and other complementary medicines in the country. And lastly, again, the last one was regarding the proposal of adding the traditional leaders, and of course we've already responded to that.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Galusa. DDG, do you want to say something? Ms. Matau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, let me apologize. There's a sad possible reason why I couldn't get on time. Just a few comments around this. I will not be responding to anything that is specific, but just general comments. One of the issues that came up here in the comments of the honorable members was making, and I must agree with this because I'm aware of that, the integration of traditional medicine and the public health system, which is which was yes in the Macedonian Stellar Perspective. I think as we've been trying to do this work on traditional medicine, it has become quite clear that there is a danger. I think there is a question concern when we talk of integration. There seems to be a bit of nervousness about the Western medicine as we know it, completely taking over traditional medicine. And the advice we are constantly getting now is that no integration must be allowed, because if when that happens, then one is getting accused under the other. And therefore, these systems are going to be developed separately, but linked, maybe in terms of issues like referrals, etc. But what was originally envisaged as a single health system that accommodates public health, traditional medicine, or that, I think more and more we're being advised not to do that. And not by anybody else, but the traditional healers, the traditional practitioners themselves, because of that, there's a fear that we want to take over. So we actually very cautious here on this integration. In fact, we don't use that anymore. The second thing was a regulation under the MCC. Now, on one hand, it would be good to offer the patient, the client, the assurance that the MCC has gone through and register the traditional medicine. But on the other hand, is that the way African traditional medicine is practiced, it is virtually impossible.
The secretary does know the
which deals with orthodox medicine, with Western medicine.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure you must be familiar with lots of fines that the department has been having up to court level, where people are feeling, one sector of the population is feeling that there are some quack medicines that some people are trying to promote, and the department is helping that promotion, which of course is not. But the reason there is that tension is because the way African traditional medicine is practiced.
Our time is up, Mama. Can you wrap up?
I am saying if we were to subject African traditional medicine under MCC as being put here, then there will be no African traditional medicine. Because we will want every practitioner to do clinical trials, to do clinical trials on their products, and to make sure safety, efficacy, effectiveness for the medicine, etc., etc. So that is why it is necessary for a council of traditional medicine to make those determinations. Because if you leave it to us, we will put it through MCC, and then there will be no traditional medicine on the street. Because then it will not have met the standard of the MCC. So we need to be careful that do we want it or do we not want it? I think that's very important. But the council, the traditional practitioners council, is really being set up to look at all those issues for those people who have the competence, who have the knowledge around this thing, to make certain determinations which we can't make. And the last one that I really want to do, I think it's also to do with the appropriate supplement, the appropriate professional standards, ethical standards. Again, this is not something I do not know. The department doesn't know what is appropriate or ethical in the context of appropriate standards. And therefore, the saying, let there be a council with knowledgeable people who can determine these kinds of things. And then the last one was, I think, Mrs.
The last.
The council structure, that there must be some kind of devolution to provincial level. I cannot say yay or nay. All I can say is that was there shall be a council. If they feel they need other structures, they will need to establish those structures and run them, and it is horribly expensive. But if the traditional leaders themselves feel they want sub-councils or provincial level, I am sure they will be free to do that, provided they can. The only danger, the only risk is that in terms of standardization, it will be a major problem. You know, it has to be an undertaking that they feel the standard. You don't get a different standard from one province.
Thank you, DDG. Thank you very much. We'll invite you more to come and tell us more about it. I don't know, members. Honorable KK wants to respond to some comments.
Why?
But the time is again. Let me give him let us give him 1 minute to respond. But they're not going to respond.
I'm taking exception to where some people feel that
some people say some members.
Some people are members.
Yes. You must address us properly, get the thing.
Yeah.
And Nadu has got responses.
May you apologize for that way some people and say, honorable member.
Yeah, Chairperson, can I deal with them? If we have the time, can I deal with them?
No, say honorable member, sir.
Do you think I can actually do that?
Yeah, honorable members.
Chairperson, can I... You see, the matter that is partly actually referred to... And I need clarification because I don't think they are actually correct. The member who has been addressing us before the DDG actually refers to the Act. And I think we're dealing with the theory here because the Act here as it stands has been validated by the Constitutional Court. I think I need to be advised whether in front of us we have a bill or we have an Act. But as far as I know, if it is a deal and there are matters, it has been validated by the Constitutional Court. So I'm saying the manner in which this party is addressing us is as if we're dealing with the Act. And I think we're dealing with a deal in front of us here. Because the Act has been validated. And therefore, matters that have been dealt with and they are proposed to be added here. I think we need to be open about this particular situation, and the department should not come and present to us as if we cannot do anything in this particular implementation. And thus, when the department says they agree with the inclusion of the traditional leader, and I ask to say, why did you propose the constitution of the council if you agree with the inclusion of the traditional? They didn't. And the response that has been given is as if, well, the subtitle clause, you cannot do anything.
They can't make proposals, we must take the decision.
Yes.
Why are you raising it?
No, you see that I'm dealing with the process in a manner that if you say we're dealing with this executive, I think in a meeting situation, we need to be given time to speak our minds Whether I'm wrong or right is not a person to interfere with me. It is a person to take the stage and deal with the matters that are here. We cannot be bulldozed. Whether we have majority or minority on the issue, we need to raise matters that are here and we need to be heard. Whether we like it or not, we'll say it. And I need this evidence to protect us when we have a meeting, not keep quiet when we are.
Can I have the mic?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Because I'm not with those. I mean, these issues are provincial issues.
Exactly.
It's not for us to come up with issues. We've got mandates from the provinces, but if we've got some issues, do them in writing, we'll send them to the department, they'll respond when they come to the next meeting. Honorable members, please be ordered. Please. Let me. I am controlling the meeting. You are out of order. I can take you out of my hand. In closure, let me send the department.
I'm not threatened by
you. Let me send.
I'm not threatened by what you're saying. Some members here who do in the meeting.
I'm not a solo. I mean, please give us a chance.
Also protect us.
Honorable members, officials from the Department of Health, the caucus at the corner, Mr. Musapi, I want to close the meeting. Other issues will come later. Let me thank the Department of Health, the DDG. Honorable Lamola, please give us a chance. I said to those honorable members from honorable members, Mrs. DDG, thank you very much for supporting the legal department, because later on or last year we had a concern where department, they don't tell the policy managers to come and assist the legal department. So I think this relationship will continue. When we request department to come, we also come and assist other managers to come and refer. We are very pleased. And we are invited for a lunch, which is going to start up at 12. And we are now going to give you 3 minutes comfort break, only 3 minutes. And we are welcoming the Department of Health again for tobacco bill. 3 minutes break. Thank you. Let me welcome and thank you very much, special delegation. I was respecting you.
Each time Solo, herself, and the other one, if they want to come in, even if we wait, give them time. Not our support. Let them see that issue because they can see more. No, not for the problem. What I'm saying is, the interference is a different problem. Now, I'm dealing with...
Some questions are going to be answered.
Professor and the managers around here, we are continuing with the health committee again, but for now we are deliberating on and also to finalize the Tobacco Product Control Amendment Bill D24B stroke 226. Dr. Ramazan, analyst, are we all having this summary, honorable members? Rico is just giving to us now. And the snake is there, the members, which is not reading those through it now, but the departmental leader. And let me also welcome, or maybe give this opportunity to those who came now, because the rest of us were introduced earlier on. And also welcome our guests. I've seen Dr. Kam and other members. But firstly, let me give the department to introduce themselves. And also to say from our side, we've got a legal state law advisor. For all both of them, you introduce yourself for this bill, but the previous one we didn't have any. For this tobacco, we are likely having two. They will advise us correctly as a state law advisor. May I start with the department?
Thank you, Madam.
Madam Researcher. Sorry to disturb you. Hey, your first day is hectic, so you must not ask for transfer.
Fine, you boy, fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Madam. I'm Abby Marcel, Deputy Director General.
Okay.
No. Okay, go on. Thank you, Silo. Thank you very much. Our special delegate again from the provinces. We have been with the Eastern Cape. Any other from the provinces? None. Let me take this opportunity to give the department to take us through the submission. Who's going to lead us?
Our legal department, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to Mr. Tenha.
The submission as a submitted, unfortunately, that comes quite with the alphabetic order and numbering that was initially matched to the by the committee. But I think there was, in a way, they were actually by the secretary of the committee. In the order of
was necessary to respond to the clarity of our guidelines subject to the members to their physical number of the submissions as well. The first position that was received was choose match. Submission D. And the issue is presented by Swedish Match concerns the use of snus as a smoker tobacco product, which is regarded, according to them, as not being an offer of ordinary smoked tobacco product, and should be dealt with there differently in the bill. The department's response to that is that snus is still a tobacco product, and although it might not be indeed harmful, there is no scientific proof that it is totally harmless. Therefore, it should be regulated differently. Not be the effect of the difference in the law. The group is not regarded as a harm reduction product by the department because it's quite typically the evidence of reports for snus is highly addictive. It causes pain seeds in bad breath, raise heart rate and blood pressure. Sometimes studies snus is due to increased heart disease, diabetes, and premature birth. And there's also suspicion that it causes pain cancer. Furthermore, clause 5 of the bill provides for the minister to exempt certain tobacco products from the provisions of the Act where it is in the public interest for a public or for a product to be protected. The recommendation of smokers' tobacco products by the World Health Organization and by the Committee on Tobacco Products Regulation after analyzing several studies on smokers' tobacco products is that a study from Sweden reports that smokers' tobacco use is associated with threats of diabetes and it is not being studied for its diabetes. All smokers to that authority are nicotine as a major constituent and are potentially addictive. Youth are especially vulnerable to initiating smokers to that use. The federal smokers to that use is common among the youth globally. The second submission that the department received was submitted to the committee was which nearly the tobacco that we submission mark J of the entity. It also deals with three substances. A smoked tobacco product has the potential to reduce tobacco related harms. The exemption should be defined in the Act. And the exemption provided for is required to be amended to provide specifically for smokers. The department's response to this is exactly the same as the that relates to smokers. The The purpose of this source is to ensure that where a country does not have any standards in place, tobacco products will at least have to meet the South African standards before it could be exported to such foreign countries. To this extent, the dumping of substandard tobacco products in underdeveloped countries will be eliminated. Then, the British American Tobacco Officers makes a response to a comment to paragraph 43 of the bill that proposes the regulations of so-called fireside cigarettes. Achieving this goal is complex and requires careful consideration with regard to asset area, which should rather be addressed by the South African government rather than the Department of Health. The Department of Health regards involved in the business of the relevant report among others, the custom of fire is not exposed people and animals to burns and That's remark on paragraph 4F of the bill, manufacturers who publicly disclose proprietary and confidential information which manufacturers are entitled to protect. And as part of the department response as follows. The purpose of the clause is not to compel a manufacturer to disclose confidential information publicly. Such information will be kept confidential by the minister. The purpose is for the manufacturer to discuss all ingredients contained in the product in order to establish the levels of such ingredients as well as the harmful effects of such ingredients or combination of ingredients on the user of that product. This submission that was submitted to the committee was from the Tobacco Institute of South Africa. That was submission F. These are generally supported by the exemption of certain areas, namely smokers are vastly less harmful than those tobacco products that are burned, and its natural gas is not impactful among users. Therefore, the definition of tobacco products should not be excluded, and the exemption provision contained in the new section should be amended to make specifically reference to our reduction properties. The department still stands at this point where, or its viewpoint of this as referred to in the previous submission. Then, Peter also makes a comment on the age limitation for persons permitting smoking areas. The age of tobacco products is prohibited to children under the age of 16 years. And they refer to this as an anomaly in the draft legislation. The result is that since the selling of tobacco products is regarded as trade, which is a dual provincial and national consequence, this will be dealt with in section 76 bill, which proposes the age limit to be uplifted to 18 years. A comment on low ignition propensity cigarettes was introduced as a safety feature to prevent lit cigarettes from posing a fire hazard. However, such design will not cost or help the education will have cost or adult implication that is suggested that it only be done on the basis of extensive consultation and research before the passing of any regulation with regard to this. The department's response, all new regulations are subject to public comment prior to enforcement, and in this instance consultation will take place with the stakeholders in order to reach agreement on the implementation prior to promulgation of the regulation. In regard to the penalty provisions of the bill, it is recommended that careful consideration be given to the relationship between the offences and the proposed maximum penalties. The department's response to penalties, the Department of Health proposed that it is probably thought to and is seen as reasonable. Penalties proposed are not more stringent, which, when compared with other legislation, i.e. the Liquor Act, which provides for a fine of 1 million. For selling liquor to a person under the age of 18 years. The fourth submission is the Association for the Reduction of Tobacco Related Harm. That has been submission C. Says that more effort than at present should be directed towards primary prevention from tobacco use, particularly among the youth. The department's response to this is that the Department of Health Awareness Program is a tobacco control program that focuses on all ages of use in different settings, e.g. schools, curricula, posters, information pamphlets, for children and adults, radio and TV talk shows. The comment that since it is clear that government does not intend to ban tobacco with the consideration of alternatives which are less harmful to non-users of tobacco, must be a policy imperative to ensure minimization of harm. The users of tobacco were not to smoke and opt for a smokeless form of tobacco use, harm to the non-users of tobacco and the environment in general can be minimized and even eliminated.
department and court's position on this matter remain the same as the previous response, mainly regarding SMUS. Submission number 5, the National Council against Smoking. Submission E is issued by the committee. Comment on section 2 that provides for the restriction of smoking near air inlets and instances of public places, protect servants of passive smoke in private dwellings as used for deletion and as passengers in cars, and for the necessary prohibit smoking in certain outdoor areas where it may constitute a fire or a risk. This is supported by the organization. Section 3 allows the regulation of substances that the manufacturer can put into a tobacco product. Its constituents is also really supported by the organization. And then it comes with the comment that the bill bans smoking in the workplace, but domestic workers need to be protected. Increased in the fire should be supported. The department's responsibility, the department is aware of the fact that domestic workers need to be protected, but also acknowledges that enforcement of such provisions would create problems, as well as the fact that such problems could be victimized and even lose their jobs. Submission number 6 received from a certain institution, which is submission G. He supports the bill in general, but feels that the definition of public place takes in includes the premises of private clubs or voluntary associations. The department responds that the department has opinion that the definition of public place as proposed in the bill is wide enough to also provide for the venues of place definition. Submission 7. Eagle Fair, in the definition of the maximum, that is submission D. Because it will not be foreseen in favor of smoking, but because of more detrimental elements in our society, such as alcohol abuse and traffic controls, and crime prevention that needs to be enforced actually that as it has a far more severe impact on our society and children. The department responded, carrying out of those societal problems is tackled separately on its own merits. That was the output factor and the process has been specifically put under. Submission 8, regardless that the provision should be made in the penalties clause for a person insisting to take a child that is underage into a permissible clothing area. The department's response to this one is that this matter is in the clause with conditionality that deals with smoking of tobacco products. Furthermore, the owner of such permissible smoking don't add to the right to be permissible for all premises, the same as the person who abuses alcohol. Candles that not only should prescribe crimes to be displayed in public places, but the person who controls such public places makes public announcements of chemical use, prohibitions of smoking. The department is on, and the department has none to show additional responsibilities to the owner of the public place and will be taken care of within the broader tobacco control program. The age of attention with regard to the use of vending machines is at present 16 years, but since these machines are mostly situated in the smoking area of public places, only the age of 18 years are allowed in the smoking area, there seems to be an anomaly. This issue will be dealt with in the section 76 book.
Does the mic work? Is it working?
The reason why it's in the section 76 book is that any machines is regarded as seven, which is also regarded as seven, and that would be some of the most serious abuse of the government.
the expression partially enclosed in the definition of public place is clarification. The department's response is in this, the Department of Health is the definition here. It must also agree to by the state law advisor. Submission number 9 by Mr. Karen Korsler. Submission I. Request a total ban of smoking in public places for the health of all and the children. The department responds that the result further is noted. The Department of Health position remains as in the bill. The first back to the national submission 10, that is submission K to the committee, recognizes the real risks posed by smoking and the degree that the industry should be appropriately regulated. Which is also supported by the department's viewpoint of this. And then they comment on clause 3A, which makes provision for manufacturers to be compelled to disclose prescribed information to the Minister of Health to the public without provision being made for the protection of trade secrets, proprietary and confidential information. The department responds that the distinction should be made between information that the manufacturer must submit to the Minister and information which is disclosed to the public. The Minister will not be allowed to disclose any confidential information. And frankly, this is not for any other party to such extent to think that it's prohibited in doing so by the Promotion Act, the Information Act, in that comment on clause 6, as you go, I see the Minister to make regulations regarding information that the manufacturer must submit to the Minister and the public in respect of certain specified categories. In his argument, it is the argument that the manufacturer is not compelled to provide a wide array of information, such as trade secrets, etc., etc. The department's response is, the purpose of the section is for the manufacturer to provide some information to the Minister and some information to the public. It is not the intention that the Minister will disclose trade secrets to the public or other competitors. I think that extent a manufacturer is also protected by the Promotion Act of 2003. Submission number 11 from Philip Morris, South Africa PGY Limited. That is submission A. Suggests that the definition of ingredients focuses substantially on substances directly added to the tobacco, but the residues of agricultural substances, i.e. crop protection agents and packaging material migrants, should be excluded and separately regulated from the ingredients. So the department responds that the position that residues of agricultural substances and tobacco should form part of the total picture of ingredients as provided for in the law. And then go further and just support the department's position when they state that support the broadened definition of tobacco products as the regulations should apply equally to manufactured cigarettes and other tobacco products. Regulation of other tobacco products is crucial, particularly with the growing popularity of other tobacco products offered as a consequence of lower tax rates. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. We have had responses from the department, and I'm sure we are all aware that this is Section 75, and looking at it, we also acknowledge that there is a need be where there are some issues for the provinces. But for now, we are dealing with Section 75. Our state law advisor, can you comment? Any comment after the presentation? Nothing. Let me give this opportunity to members.
State law advisor. State law advisor.
They are complaining that the state law advisors, every time they don't comment,
saying just coming to the meeting to be nice, beautiful flowers for us. That's what they are saying, member. Do you want to say something?
That's what it's not
about. Just to clarify, the paper advisors, a lot of people to advise us on this issue, the drafting time of the decision. Not on policy issue. That is the responsibility of the department. So we may not be able to advise on policy issues. As well as policy decisions that are taken by the department.
We are aware, but these are some legal issues before you come in. So that you must be informed when you take a decision as a committee. Thank you very much. Honorable members. Honorable members. None. Honorable Mazubuko. Followed by Honorable Tete. Who else? None? May you proceed?
No, Captain. I'm responding to what the chief said. Captain, what is the only advice on matters that the chief to constitutional issues? But isn't that this bill also infringes the right of people to smoke when they want to smoke?
I just want to check two aspects that deals with the let me refer to the bill itself, because I can't remember which submission it was, but it deals with the issues relating to standards. It is on section 3A, subsection, 3A, whatever you call it.
No persons
are exported tobacco products from the Republic unless the tobacco product meets the product and testing standards of the country of final destination. And BOP declared if no such standards exist in the country of final destination, the provision of this section are applied. I've said previously that I understand the argument that has been raised to say dumping, walla walla, you know, whatever situation that has been said in there. But is our interest standard set in the country where now each company that produces that product, for me, is one to set a standard or comply with the standard in their manufacturing of the product in the country. Anything below that standard, they are not complying with the law of the country. So I'm a little bit worried that we refer to a country of final destination instead of us referring to our standard in the country. Because the country of final destination might have a lower standard than us. So are we not creating a loophole there? Because I believe that once we set a standard, anybody who operates in the country will comply with the standards that are set within the country. So the argument that has been put to say we are avoiding dumping, I don't think for me it's not substantive enough. What is substantive enough for me is once we set a standard here, we'll actually comply with that. Chairperson, I think that is the first thing that I needed to say. I think if we stick to our standards, wherever we set them, whoever operates in the country at the factory level, that institution will comply with what we have. So I'm worried about a referral to a final destination and not a referral to us as a country. That is the first part. The other part that I want to check between a small what do you call it, a cigarette, yeah, let me use the word cigarette, because you like it, and the other one being snooze. Are we not, because for me there are two levels here. The one level is to protect the user. The other level is to protect the non-users, the non-smokers, if I use that way. Is it correct for us to generalize the use of the two types of the tobacco products? For sure, if I don't smoke, if somebody smokes next to me, I don't like the smell and the smoke of that. But where you have a snooze, which does not affect the next person, it affects the person who's using that. Is it not necessary for us not to generalize and do some exemptions in terms of the two types? We will pipe away that the user, at the end of the day, is a person affected. But where a snooze product, I refer to it because it's smokeless. And you can use it while it's in here, and it doesn't affect the next person. And I'm under the impression that the cigarette regulations are to make sure that non-smokers are not affected by the smoke that is there. So I'm trying to check whether there won't be any, because we're not banning tobacco at all. It is still in use. So I'm just trying to say, perhaps we need to look into that kind of an exemption in terms of the use of the two types in terms of its effect to the non-users and the users. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Are you coming up with the new submission or just a follow-up? But the department will respond. Any other honorable Sessiona and who else? I'm taking the last round, so I'm not going back to another. Honorable Suleiman. Okay, Dr. Suleiman.
And I was really a tool for my clear processing processes and decisions that are made available to us. My first question is that it says whether as the NMSB, as proposed by the National Assembly, has there been any amendments that have been effected? You know, okay. If so, what are those? And if there are no amendments, that happened, my submission today will be the last one, that I knew for the adoption of the bill.
Honorable Suli, followed by Honorable Samula.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to say that I want to double with my colleague as far as tenders are concerned. Because we know what is the condition for the African continent. And we can therefore not allow a situation whereby we're going to export rubbish products to our neighboring countries. So I think I support this particular choice in this policy, honestly speaking. Then, Chairperson, snooze. You can give it 10 different other names.
Which one do you support? The first for the export. Export, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And even snooze for that matter. The fact of the matter is, whether you smoke it or whether you chew it, it's a tobacco product at the end of the day. And there's no question about that. So I would like to concur with my colleague who says that let us adopt this particular piece of legislation on Korea.
There is also a suspicion that it causes pancreatic cancer. I'd like to know from the department if research was done to verify the statement of this issue. And then on page 4, I can say that manufacturers are comfortable with passing up information, especially in dealing with cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Can it be kept in the vault? Especially with companies with suspicion of information may not be kept confidential. I think companies or manufacturers also have a right to that. Thank you.
That's all.
No, Chair, I just want to draw members' attention to one pamphlet here distributed by us. I think there are two issues that they are raising on this. The first issue, I think, is on the whole question of ignition propensity, and the other issue is, I think, the smart thing. Two issues that they are raising. On the first issue, I hope members of the special that they are saying here. They are proposing that we should actually postpone finalization of the bill until, I think, some demonstration is made. So they are saying they're going to the demonstration on the 18th. I don't know with whom and where. I don't know that. But I just thought that we need to respond to that. We can't just be quiet, you know. So I'm just asking you, Chairperson, to allow members to respond on this proposal. As made here, and I think on the snug thing and the like, I mean the exemption clause. I'm sure we agree with that exemption clause as it stands in the bill for now, and we are saying that that exemption clause is very broad, and its interpretation, I mean, it can mean anything. And therefore, we leave it to the minister, because it's the minister that will determine as to whether something is actually exempted or not. It is the prerogative of the minister. We can have our own interpretations here, but as long as we're not faced with the minister, hear what the minister's interpretation is, we are not sure we will miss the point. So I think we should just agree with the exemption clause as it stands in the bill now. But I really want members to respond on the question of portfolio check and truly.
Chairperson, honorable member, Solo, if I may respond, this bill is no long overdue. I don't think it's going to be possible to postpone to finalize it today because we agree. We have agreed and we don't oppose anything comes from a portfolio, to my understanding. I don't think there are new things that we have to follow here. But let me give members to comment on it. Honorable Sekun.
Maybe isn't this what the Honorable Sekun is saying, satisfied by initial inquiry, whether anything that's created from here. I want to repeat my views. I don't agree with postponement of the city chapter. Fundamental opposition. There's no reason this section is first piece of legislation that has been before us and transparent focus, allowing every stakeholder to make input and all this. It is a fact that we have learned quite a number of things which by and large policy framework around tobacco. I don't think all that would actually play a critical role in that ongoing process. Because the enactment of this legislation does not bring to the end and the finality of the ongoing imperative to review our policy and legislative framework, both in line with our own domestic security and global imperatives. And I would be scared that we postpone and delay it further, this bill, for any other reason, given the time that this bill has been for us. And when we delay this pattern, you see, cooperative governance, Chairperson, presupposes amongst others, it is the rules of parliament, when the bill is introduced, it has got time frame. As to when that bill must go to the executive, we're not doing the executive the favor. Presiding officers, when the bill is introduced, they commit parliament, that by this time parliament would have disposed this particular bill. And I think we'll be respecting ourselves, Chairperson, if we are going to respect presiding officers, who have made those undertakings on our behalf. would be respecting ourselves if we are respecting the executive, yes? For him to be patient, really, with us in doing all the things that we did and all those things. I would just like to say some other things that I have got strong views about. I've raised them within my own party study group, on this field. I move on to myself. That's a big deal, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. More research work and more liberation will come on Section 76 when the bill is if the bill is going to be introduced as Section 76. After agreeing for adoption of the bill, continue on the platform. After being agreed on this bill adoption, we are going now to do clause by clause. I'll give it to you, Note.
Yeah, but before you proceed.
No, I'm not proceeding before giving it to you. I'm still on the platform, Honorable Mayor. We'll begin clause by clause, and also we'll read the report of the committee. Let me take this opportunity to give Member Tete, we've got 5 minutes to close this meeting.
Yeah, Chairperson, I just want to raise my concern on the manner in which we are trying to adopt this situation. I think as a member, I take exception for us to take it to take a direction from the portfolio committee. I think we are a different committee. We are not representing what the portfolio committee is actually saying. I'm not out of order. So the comment.
No, let me raise the point of order. Why I'm saying. Can I do not so much, yeah?
Are you stopping me from talking?
Can I say something? Just on the point of order. I was saying, do we have differences from the portfolio committee? What I say. But now, because there are not any differences to amend or to take it back, I was referring that because this is Section 75, which you are going to take back to the NA, not to say we are adopting what NA has done. I was not saying that it was an thing.
No. Sorry, Chair. I think procedural, you said point of order, must give it back to him. He finishes his point of order, somebody, his point, and then somebody else can come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. You see, then if the approach, what I'm trying to say is that I'm actually questioning a situation where now there's an impression created that, you know, we are sort of endorsing. I don't have a problem if we would not defund from there, from what the portfolio, but it should not be assumed that because the portfolio committee has done this and therefore we are accepting that. But Chairperson, I still want to raise my concern to say I'm still not comfortable in terms of the standards of another country when we deliver it. I believe that if we have a law here, the law here should precede the law elsewhere. The destination country may have a law that is the standards that are lower than us, or standards that are much higher than us, but I think we should stick to the standards that we do have here. And any company that produces here will comply with those standards. And if we have to export elsewhere and our standards are lower and there they are higher and they accept our product, they'll do so. So on the basis of that, I'm saying I have a problem with the final destination. I would prefer that the standards that we have set as a country should be adhered to. And I think that's what I will actually want to say. Then I accept the exemption clause that has been there. I don't have a problem with that, but that's where I am.
We will request the department to respond on that point.
Without reflecting on any individual here, I'm saying this to you cautiously. You see, I'm not treating this bill as if it's no useful assumption. That's the thing. Most of the questions that are coming once more were answered by ourselves. And it is my advantage that politically, if that particular question is not in such a certainly answer, I must give a position as a member of the committee that I oppose this law. I think that is democratic enough. So I'm afraid whereby we are degenerating through some form of a debate, either form of question. When we don't have time, I'm actually under pressure and duty personally, because we still have to walk as a sitting at school, you know. But I'm saying I personally get irritated when we had time, we had opportunity, we have asked these questions. And if people feel that certain things are not being adequately treated and covered, they've got democratic right to raise those issues and say, I oppose this thing on the following basis. So that we move forward. The fact that we are moving in terms of, I don't think it's procedural.
Thank you. Let's give the department a response in a minute for those
Thank you. I needed to make a few general comments because I think the question is pointing at the, you know, agitation that maybe should have by the people. The first thing that I just want to make a comment on is this harm reduction. So you see the notion of harm reduction itself is erroneous in the context of public health. There should never be a situation where there is harm and it's bringing a product that produces harm but is still harmful. I think that's the what I need to say. So from a public health perspective, we need to deal with the harm and get rid of the harm. So the whole concept of smooth and harm reduction is completely uncertain. In any case, apart from that, smooth is harmful, and I think it needs to be said that, you see, when something has not been tested for something, you cannot say it's a cure of harm. You can only say it's a cure of harm after you've tested it for that particular harm. Smooth is, somebody asked about research. There's a lot of research going on there, and it is true, as the Honorable Member asked about research on pancreatic cancer. Yes. That research is being done by the University of Uppsala, Sweden, and in conjunction with some American universities. And at the last conference of tobacco in Bangkok, there were preliminary results that were showing that, yes, it does cause individual cancers and pancreatic cancer. There is a link. There was a positive correlation between smooth users and pancreatic. So there is preliminary results show that there is definitely a causation of cancer by doing. The second thing is, it is addictive. And that in itself is an undesirable side effect. But what I would like also to, which also is to come up over and over again, is this issue of standards. Maybe I need to explain what the whole scenario is. The thing is, if South Africa has a particular standard in the manufacture of tobacco, the manufacturers in South Africa can adhere to that standard that protects South African standards. The problem comes in when, in actual fact, they can manufacture far more cheaply a substandard cigarette, which they tend to do if you're not vigilant enough. And that substandard cigarette will not be marketed in South Africa, but in a more vulnerable stage where they have no mechanism of testing for the quality of their cigarettes. It happens all the time, all over the world. And all we are saying is that South Africa must not be that kind of country which allows substandard manufacturing to be dumped in more unfortunate countries around us. And unfortunately, all African countries, most of the African countries, would fall victim to that kind of thing if it was allowed. So the context of final destination is really to protect. We feel comfortable with our own society, but it can never be 1,000%, but to a large extent it is high. But we need to consider our neighbors who are much weaker from a scientific investigation. So that is how the final destination issue comes. It does not make it for the fact that our own protection must be guaranteed. But it says, while we protect ourselves, let's not take advantage of some disadvantaged countries around us.
Thank you, thank you very much. Ferry Sagis.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much, DDG, for the explanation.
Motion of desirability.
Can we... I don't think so, but...
Motion of desirability. Wait. Motion of desirability.
Mike? Which one?
The one of confidentiality or ingredients.
Do you answer that one?
Yes, okay. I give it to the lawyer to do it, but the spirit behind it, our aim is to protect the public. And in so doing, by asking that all ingredients must be made known, it's basically to do that. Because where ingredients are
located,
that's where contamination and all other undesirable ingredients get to be used. It is clear, we all know that all manufacturers want to protect. There are some procedures around it. But that we should not allow, or we do not want to allow them to be used to hide other undesirable things that are put in tobacco. Generally, what manufacturers put in tobacco are the kinds of things that they shouldn't be controlled, highly addictive substances. And that is why we insist that they must be known. But to protect the manufacturer too from competitors, that is why we say some disclosures will be made specifically and strictly to the media. But the information, the general information on a tobacco must say what the tobacco product contains, what the tobacco product comprises of. I don't think this is something we would want to compromise on, because this is something in fact which is the crux of the matter. What is this in tobacco that makes this smoking? And that is how well the manufacturers are characterized, or and that is what we are trying to deal with here. It will be, I mean, there are lots of other secrets that the minister has and has never disclosed. I don't see why now they're suddenly never admit that she would like to VAT about what UTC is doing or whatever. It's unlikely. But our primary focus is to protect the consumer and to protect the population. And if we can achieve that, then we have had our success.
Thank you, DDG.
I think that explanation suffices, really. We don't need any other explanation in the interest of time.
Thank you very much. May I have this, please? We are now going to read motion of disability. Tobacco Product Control Amendment Bill B24B/2006. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the Tobacco Product Control Act of 1993 so as to define certain expressions and to amend certain definitions, to provide a new for the control over the smoking of tobacco products, to make provision for standards in respect of the manufacturing and export of tobacco products, to extend the minister's power to make regulations and to increase penalties, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Agreed. Now we are going to go back to our bill and start with clause by clause. Our bill goes clause up to 9. I'll start with clause 1.
Agreed.
You agree to clause 1?
Agreed.
Clause 2?
Agreed.
Clause 3?
Agreed.
Some parts not agreed.
Clause 4?
Agreed.
Clause 5?
Agreed.
Clause 6?
Agreed.
Clause 7?
Agreed.
Clause 8?
Agreed.
Subtitles and commitment section. Clause 9?
Agreed.
Agreed?
Agreed to.
We are now going to read the report of the committee.
The committee report.
Let now Councillor Province says the Select Committee on Social Services, having considered the subject of the Tobacco Products Control Amendment Bill, National Assembly Section 75, respect to it and classified by the JTM as Section 75 Bill, reports the bill without amendment. Thank you. The committee report has been adopted, and the bill has been adopted by the committee. The committee will debate this bill. The department will section 76 in the NCOP will debate it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Will be paid so that members of the council must know about the tobacco bill. So the department is being informed about the date that you are going to be paid it. And earlier on, we dealt with those two bills, traditional health bill and the fit off. We'll be doing the statements on those two bills because we have debated it before. Thank you very much. Honorable members, all of you are welcome for a lunch. And members are going to be leaving the hotel quarter to 2 for the sitting of the plenary. Where is the lunch, Arigo? Oh, the gentleman will lead you to lunch. I think it's downstairs.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you very much, our guests, our visitors. You are also welcome for lunch. Thank you, bye.
That is about us coming. The one that is in control is from here. Coming.
Who belongs to the CMG? CMG lady, where is CMG?
Hello. Who belongs to the CMG? That was him there, Angela. Oh, CMG.
Honorable member, can you?